Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tearing down this idea that the art of the good deed is just some fluffy moral virtue.
Right.
Our whole mission here is to look at it as a hardwired biological imperative. We really dove into the science of how kindness actually impacts the doer.
We're talking about the chemistry of it all, not just the morality. And the main takeaway, really, from all the sources is this thing called the helper's high.
The helper's high.
Yeah. It's a distinct, measurable physiological state. Evolution didn't just hope we'd cooperate. It built a reward system to make sure we did.
Okay, let's unpack that neurochemical cocktail then.
Yeah.
When you do something generous, what happens, like, right away? I know it starts with dopamine.
It does. Dopamine is, you know, the brain's currency for reward. It's that immediate rush you feel.
Mm-hmm.
It lights up the brain's primal reward system, the very same pathway that says, good job, do that again when we eat something great or feel attraction.
So it creates a positive feedback loop, reinforcing the act itself.
Instantly. But then you have serotonin, which gives us that more sustained glow. That long-term feeling of contentment.
Right. And what about that finding? I thought this was amazing, that the feeling actually spreads beyond just the two people involved.
Oh, that's the contagion element. It's fascinating. Serotonin levels don't just go up in the giver and receiver. They also rise in anyone who just witnesses the act.
No way.
Yes. Think of it as collective mood regulation. That feeling of moral elevation you get watching a wholesome video. That's real measurable neurochemistry at work.
And on top of that, the body literally medicates itself with endorphins, its own natural opiates.
That's right. The sources even suggest this pain masking effect might help reduce chronic pain symptoms for the person helping out.
Wow.
And this leads us straight out of the brain and into the cardiovascular system. This is where kindness gets seriously cardioprotective.
And it's all thanks to oxytocin, the so-called love hormone. Okay, wait a minute. That sounds a little too good to be true.
Yeah.
Are we suggesting kindness is what? A literal alternative to blood pressure medication? How strong is that link?
It's a surprisingly powerful mechanism. So acts of kindness trigger oxytocin.
Right.
And oxytocin then stimulates the production of nitric oxide in your blood vessels. Nitric oxide is a gas, and it's a natural vasodilator.
It's a vasodilator. So it widens the blood vessels.
Precisely. Your blood vessels relax and widen, which means the pressure across your whole system just drops. It gives your heart an easier time.
And at the same time, it's fighting stress.
Yes. That same burst of oxytocin slashes the toxic stress hormone cortisol. It shifts your body out of fight or flight and into a state of safety. It can actually break that cycle of negative self-rumination you see in anxiety.
So if kindness is a real health intervention, what does that mean for longevity?
Aww.
Our sources all pointed to this powerful, almost counterintuitive paradox from the Brown study back in 2003.
That finding really challenges how we think about support. It found that giving support to others, whether it's running an errand or just listening, is a stronger predictor of reduced mortality risk over 5 years than receiving support.
Wait, hang on. Why is being the provider better for you than getting the help you need?
Well, because giving signals agency and purpose. Evolutionarily, your body thrives when it feels necessary and capable.
Oh, okay.
You're signaling to your own internal systems that you're safe, you're needed, and you're in control. And that reduces that long-term damaging inflammatory stress.
And that sense of agency, it doesn't just stop with you. It ripples out. I think the term was 3 degrees of influence.
It is. Your one good deed can spread to people you've never even met. It impacts people your recipient knows and then people they know.
Which creates what the science calls upstream reciprocity.
Which is just a great term for paying it forward, really. It's not transactional. When you get help, you feel this psychological trigger to help a third totally unrelated person. You even see this intuition in very young kids.
We really are engineered for this stuff.
Yeah.
But we have to finish on a vital caution.
We do.
Healthy, sustained kindness absolutely requires boundaries. We have to talk about compassion fatigue.
Where you just burn out your emotional reserves. Yes. Or even pathological altruism, which is when you're helping from a neurotic need for validation, not genuine care.
Compassion is a resource. You have to manage it.
You have to. Healthy giving means serving from your overflow, not from a place of depletion.
Exactly. That said, since we know your body is engineered to reward these acts, and it's a verified health intervention, let me just leave you with this thought. It's drawn from the Stoic philosophy in the sources. Since kindness is so intrinsic to your very design, how often do you perform a good deed purely because it aligns with your rational nature and not just for that resulting neurochemical high? Something to mull over until our next deep dive.